Good morning. It's good to see each one here today. We do have a few that are visiting with us this morning. We want you to know that we are honored by your presence. We're grateful for you being here. We hope that you'll come back at every opportunity that you have. I hope, if you haven't already done so, that you will open your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's going to be one of a couple of passages that we are going to use as our jumping off point for our lesson this morning. As you begin examining Scripture and you begin looking at the different things that are stated regarding Christianity in Scripture, you find that God is going to give us a number of comparisons to what Christianity is like. Now, certainly, if you look at the teachings of Jesus, there's a number of parables that talks about the kingdom of heaven is like this or that or the other. You'll have Paul talking about the statements and the importance of us putting on the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. You will see comparisons to the church, to Christianity as a kingdom in various places. But there's also another different comparison that is made on numerous occasions in the New Testament. And that is the comparison between Christianity and a race. And when you look at the passage that Spencer read for us just a few moments ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, Paul is going to lay out there this comparison between running the race as a Christian and running a physical race. He says, "Don't you know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Therefore, run in such a way so that you may obtain." And then he says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, in the physical world, they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we do it so that we might run for an imperishable crown. And then he says in verse 27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified in running this race. When you turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, in Hebrews chapter 12, there the writer of the book of Hebrews will make this statement, beginning in verse number 1. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, you have yet another comparison to living the life of a Christian being like running a race. And so, for a little while this morning, I want us to make this comparison between running a race in a physical sense and what it means to live the Christian life and the way that these are similar and some things that we can pull and why this is such an apt comparison for us to be mindful of and for us to associate with Christianity. And so this morning, we're going to consider the Christian race. Now, we're going to develop this idea this morning from a few different angles. First of all, we're going to talk about the fact that if it's going to be a race, if we're going to compare Christianity to a race, there are similarities in the fact that a race requires rules. It doesn't matter what kind of a race you're talking about. There is going to be some rules involved somewhere, or that's not really a race. It's just a bunch of people running around. And we understand this from a very young age, do we not? When your little child, or as you might be have been growing up, your little brother comes up to you and says, hey, let's race. What's the first question you ask? Where to? How far? What are the dimensions of this race going to be? When do we start? Of course, If you were like my little brother, the response was, after he'd gone three steps, go! But there's rules regarding the race. It is impossible to win a race unless it is achieved according to the rules that have been established for whatever the race might be. Every race has rules, and those rules are there to make sure that the winner wins according to the specified set of directions so that the winners can be identified. You know, when you turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse number 5, there the Apostle Paul says, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. In the physical world, we understand this. We have all been made angry, I'm sure, at one time or another, when you are competing in something, whether it is a game of some kind, whether it's an athletic event of some kind, or whether it's watching your child compete in an event of some kind, and somebody cheated. Somebody didn't play according to the rules. Somebody committed a foul. Nobody likes it when somebody is cheating. When somebody is not working according to the rules. And so in order for someone to win a race, you have to follow the rules. Well, guess what? Christianity is like a race from the standpoint of the fact it has rules that have to be applied if we're going to succeed in this race. If we're going to succeed in what it means to be a Christian. The other thing that's necessary when it comes to rules in a race is the rules have to be the same for everyone. You know, it doesn't work for you to say, you know what? For me, I only have to run half the distance that you run, and I win. Or I get to start long before you do, and you have to try to catch up. If it's going to be a legitimate race, if it's going to be an honest race, the rules have to be the same for everyone. The Apostle Paul would write to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse number 16, and there he says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. As we walk this walk of Christianity, as we live this life, what do? We live according to the same rules. We walk according to the same pattern. We have our minds set in the same direction on the same thing. Why? Because we're all running this race together. And the same rules apply to all of us. You know, when you look at a race and you begin to look at the rules that are there, there may be rules for qualification. How it is that you get into the race. And folks, here's where a lot of individuals struggle. Because we don't really understand what the race is. There are a lot of people that believe that the race is completed, that the finish line is reached when I get to the baptistry. That's what the race is. The race is to get in the water. And once I've gotten in the water, the race is over. That's not the race to Christianity. But rather, when it comes to the Christian race, what we need to understand and what we need to be sure that we are teaching and instructing people is that when it comes to obedience to the gospel, when it comes to an individual who believes on Christ, who repents of their sins, who confesses Him before men, is immersed in water to have their sins washed away, that's not the end of the race. That is the minimum requirements that are necessary to qualify to compete in the race. All you have done at that point is you have walked up to the starter's table and you've signed your name to make you eligible to compete in the race. That's your qualification. That's not the finish line. Have you ever seen somebody go in for a 5K and they walk up and they sign their name? Boy, I'm tired. I sure am glad that's over, and then they go home. That's what we do if we believe that we've reached the finish line just by becoming a Christian, just by being baptized. We've thought we've reached the finish line when we haven't even started the race yet. We've just qualified for it. When it comes to the Christian race, there are rules for qualification. There are things that I have to do to qualify to participate in this race. There are also rules that are necessary for fulfillment of the race. There are things that are going to be necessary. In a physical race, it may mean you have to run around this tree and jump over this creek and go around this house. And yeah, that's kind of the way we raced when I was growing up. You know, in the Christian race, it's the exact same thing. We have to live our lives in a certain way. We have to hold ourselves to a certain standard. We have to follow after the regulations and the rules that govern what it means to be a Christian and how it is that God expects us to live our lives if we're going to qualify to win the race. There are things that have to be fulfilled in our lives, in our standards. But you know, there are also rules determining the winners of the race. God says that there is a day that is coming in which He will judge all men. And that we will be judged based upon the things which we have done, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Whether we have upheld the standards and the rules and fulfilled the regulations of the race, or whether we have decided halfway through the race that we're just going to make our own path, we're going to run our own route, and we're going to get to the finish line our own way. You know what? We have the ability to do that. I have the ability to take whatever path to the finish line I want to take. But I can't expect when I get to the finish line to be dubbed one of the winners of the race because I cheated. I refused to adhere to the rules of the race. You see, a race requires rules. And when it comes to Christianity, Christianity has a similar series of rules, a similar layout of rules that are found in what God expects of the Christian. But not only does a race have rules, and as we've alluded to this already, it is also the case that races have a course. There is a course, there is a path, there is a series of routes that have to be run in order for that race to be completed. Now, if you're a fan of NASCAR, the route is not all that difficult. It just runs like this forever until all the engines die or somebody gets tired and waves a checkered flag. Other races are a bit more complex in nature. Other races require a bit more understanding of the course that is being undertaken and the things that are going to be required to complete the race. In order for there to be a race, you have to have a defined place to run the race. You know, when you turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, there the writer says, beginning in verse number 19, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Here the Hebrews writer says we have a place to enter into. We have some place we are trying to reach. There is a goal for us. by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh. When we become Christians, we set ourselves down a path that is heading toward an ultimate end. It is heading toward a goal. Jesus would describe it this way in Matthew chapter 7. As you come down in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount to verses 13 and 14, He's going to talk about the fact that we need to enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. We often term it living the straight and narrow, right? Jesus says there's a course that has to be run. The finish line is a gate. But the gate is narrow. The gate is not going to have a lot of people on it, or the road is not going to have a lot of people on it, because most people are going to go to the broad gate that leads to destruction. Because difficult is the way that leads to life. You know, this is not NASCAR. This is an obstacle course. And it's not an easy one. There are many people who start running the race and quit halfway through. There are many people who start running the race thinking that it is going to be a quick race. And they're not prepared for how difficult it can be. There are some who start the race thinking it's NASCAR and are shocked when they find out it's an obstacle course. The race has a course. The course, folks, we need to understand, is not the world. You know, oftentimes we think of the course as being that we are trying to run through the obstacles of the world. And yet, the course that we're running isn't the world. Jesus says in John chapter 14 and in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Do we understand that the course that we run as we seek to live the Christian life is not a course trying to make it through the world. It is a course seeking to follow the path that Jesus paved for us. The path that He leads us down. You know, as we go through the Christian life, yes, there are going to be obstacles that the world is going to throw at us. There are going to be things that obstacles we are going to place in front of ourselves by the things that we do and the choices that we make. But the way of Christ, the course that Christ lays before us, is the path to follow Him. That's the course. If we get off course, you know what we've done? We've stopped following Him. We've made our own path. We've gone our own way. One of the reasons why the course can become difficult is because we don't get to define it. We don't get to set up the twists and the turns that are there. Our course is to follow Christ. And that is something that many people are not willing to follow all the way to completion. It is impossible when it comes to the course that Jesus has set for us to cheat the course and win. You know, it's not a matter of I get to choose the path that I want to take, or that I get to choose the path that is easiest. There is one course. I am the way. There is one path for me to follow. I either follow that path or I don't. I either run that race and I finish that course or I don't. Those are the only two options. Now, I can attempt to cheat, and you know what? I will fail. I can try to set my own rules for qualification, and you know what? I will fail. I can try to decide that I'm going to run the race how I want to run it and do things the way I want to do it, and that I don't think that Jesus is really going to implement the rules that He has put in place, and I have the right to do that, and I will fail. Because Jesus, in talking to His disciples in John chapter 15, gives those illustrations of Jesus being the vine and His disciples being the branches. But then He says in verse number 4, "Abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me." Unless I stay on the course, unless I continue following the path that Christ has carved, I will lose the race. There is only one path that leads to the goal that I am striving to reach as a Christian, and that path is to follow Him. Anything else, any other path, any other course, any other route that I might take will lead to my destruction. It is why it is so dangerous when the religious world around us says, "We're all going to heaven, we're just going by different roads." That's not what Jesus said. And anybody who believes that and teaches that does not believe in the path that Jesus established and the course that we run as Christians. When Jesus said, "I am the way," it was singular and without deflection. Thirdly, if we're going to run the Christian race, we need to understand that the race has rules, that the race has a course. We also need to understand that running a race requires preparation. You know, we've talked about the fact that there are many people who are under the illusion that the Christian race is a quick race, that it's a sprint. You know, I can get up right now and I can run a sprint. The longer the sprint, the less likely it is that I'm going to complete it in a decent time. But I can run a sprint. I can't get up right now and run a marathon. And folks, the Christian life is not a sprint. It is a marathon. And if we are going to complete the race, we have to be prepared for the marathon that it is. One can only be built up for the rigors of the race by understanding and by following through on the things of God, by knowing the Word of God, by being prepared with the things that God has given to us. You know, when Paul comes and he speaks to the elders at Ephesus in Miletus, as Art's going to talk to us about next week. See, I'm just giving a way in. As he comes and he has this discussion with these elders that he has such a strong and powerful relationship with, he comes down to verse 32 in that message and he says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." He says, I commend you to God and to His Word, because it's what's going to prepare you to see it through to the end. It's going to give you the endurance that you need to finish the race. When you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Apostle Paul at the conclusion of that letter to the church at Corinth says, "Watch. Stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." takes preparation. It takes focus. It takes dedication. It takes endurance to run the race of a Christian. Because it is not easy. And it is not quick. It is the race of a lifetime. And it is an endurance race that must be seen through to the end. You know, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is talking about things that are going to happen. Specifically, he's talking about things regarding the destruction of Jerusalem and things pertaining to those areas. But one of the things that he talks about in the midst of that chapter is the fact that there's going to be false prophets, there's going to be false teachers who are going to rise up and they're going to deceive many, and many are going to turn away from Christ because of the teachings of others. And then he says in verse number 13, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." I can't get pulled off course. I can't decide to give up and quit. I've got to endure to the end. "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." Isn't that what Revelation chapter 2 verse 10 says? As he's writing there to the Lord's church on that occasion. "Be faithful all the way to the point of your death." Be faithful even if it means your death. Endure the course to the end and you will have the prize. I've got to be prepared for a race of endurance. And when you're running a long distance race, when you're running the race that requires endurance, you can't run the race weighed down. It'll destroy you. You go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, where we began. And there the writer says that I've got to lay aside every weight. Including what? Including the sin which so easily besets us. It so easily drags us down. It so easily pulls us off course. And run with endurance. The other word used is patience. The race that is set before us. I've got to take off the weights. I've got to take off the weights of the sin in my life. I've got to take off the weights of the cares of this world. I've got to take off the things that are keeping me from running the race and completing it. If I'm going to endure it all the way to the end. You know, Jesus makes a statement in Matthew chapter 11. He says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In order to get to that final rest that he talks about in verse 30 when he says, "And you shall have rest for your souls," I have to see the path all the way through to the end. It's interesting to note that the statement that is made in verse 28, "and I will give you rest," he's not talking about final rest there. It's a different term. The word there is, "I will fill you back up. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll be the pit stop to fill you back up so that you can receive the ultimate rest, so that you can finish the race." Why? Because it's an endurance race. And every true endurance race has pit stops. To refill, to reset the tank, and to continue on the way. So if we're going to run this Christian race, we've got to understand it has rules. We've got to understand the course that we're trying to run. You know, if we try to run the wrong course, we may get to the wrong location. But we also have to understand that it's going to take preparation on our part. We can't just get up one day and be fully suited and fully prepared to run the race all the way to its conclusion. It's going to take work and time and effort in the same way that it does for any individual that is striving to run a marathon or an endurance race or anything else. They train for long periods of time to be able to succeed in that endeavor. So as we close this morning, I want us to look at one final set of things. And that is, how do we win the race? What are some things that we can do to help make sure that as we seek to run the race of a Christian, we wind up victorious at the end? Let's quickly go through six or seven things on how to win the race. First of all, we want the best chances to win the race. Start early. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 1, there Solomon says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth." Now, do not take this to mean that if you didn't become a Christian until later on in life, it's impossible for you to win the race. That's not the point. The point is, the longer we wait, the harder it becomes. The harder it becomes to make changes that need to be made. The harder it becomes to let go of old habits and to create new habits. We start early. It doesn't mean the race will be easy, but it has its advantages. It has its aids and its helps in the development of our character and our thought processes and the way in which we approach the race that can make it easier, not easy, easier to see it through to the end. It's why parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, it's why it is so important that you not let the early years of your children's or grandchildren's lives go by without laying before them over and over again the rules of the race, the course that they're growing up preparing to run, and how to run it. Both in the example of your own life, but also in the words of your instruction. Because the more they know early, the greater the chances of success. Start early. Secondly, if we're going to run the race, we've got to be willing to practice self-control. Have you ever seen a runner that wasn't willing to control what he ate, or how much he ate, or what his diet included? He runs. He doesn't get very far. He doesn't stick to it very well. But he runs. Until he collapses. If we're going to be those who succeed and see it through to the end, we've got to practice self-control. You know, Jude would write in Jude verse 20, he says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Keep yourselves there. You know, the only one who can give me self-control is me. The only one who can make the choices to control myself is me. So if I don't have self-control, who's to blame? Me. If I'm going to win the race, I've got to practice self-control. It's also what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, is it not? "Therefore I discipline my body daily so that I don't become disqualified. If I'm going to run the race, I've got to keep my eyes on Jesus if I'm going to win. The author and finisher of our faith. We talked about that a little bit last Sunday night. But isn't that our goal for the year? Isn't that our theme of everything? Is keeping our eyes on the goal, keeping our eyes where they should be? If I'm going to win the race, I've got to keep my eyes on Christ. And I've got to run the race with all my might. Half-hearted efforts won't do the job. Just doing it sporadically, if I treat it like the diet that starts every other month, it's not going to work. I'm not going to make it. I've got to do it with all of my might. I have to be fully invested and fully devoted in what it takes to win this race. But you know, there's something else I need to understand. And I need to realize as I go into this race, and that is I am not running this race against anybody else. I am not running this race in order to beat anyone else. I am running this race against myself. Paul would state in Acts chapter 20 and in verse number 24, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." I'm not running this race against anybody else. I'm running it against myself. And I don't know whether you realize it or not, but we're not always the most sure-footed individuals in the world. Sometimes we stumble. Sometimes we trip. Sometimes we fall flat on our face as we seek to run the physical course. And the same holds true spiritually. But you know, they say that the essence of character is not in whether or not you ever stumble or fall. It's what you do when you do. And so when we stumble, when we fall, we've got to be willing to get back up and continue running. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, there we read, "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." In other words, you fell down, you scraped your knee, you gave yourself a boo-boo. Okay, what you going to do next? You get up, you wipe yourself off, and you keep running. You don't let that be the end. You don't let that be the point at which you quit and give up. And finally, the essence of everything that we've talked about today is the importance of finishing the race. You know, as Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he is sitting in Roman prison. The time is about at hand when Nero is going to have him executed. He is hopeful to see Timothy again, but not confident that is ever actually going to take place. And as he closes what he truly believes may be the last letter that he ever sends to one of the closest friends that he has in this world, he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give unto me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. I have finished the course. I've seen it all the way through to the end. You know what the message is to Timothy? Do not quit. So, you and I are running a race. It's not a race against each other. It's an endurance race. It's a race to the end. And it's an obstacle course. There are times it's going to hurt. There are times it's going to feel impossible. There are times we will want to quit because we feel like we failed. What are we doing as we run the race? Maybe you're one who hasn't qualified for the race yet because you've not been willing to take the steps to sign your name to the race's ledger. Are you willing to do that this morning in obedience to the gospel? Maybe you're one who's been running the race, but you've veered off path. You've been trying to get there your own way. Will you get back on the path today? Get back to following Jesus and doing what you're supposed to do. Maybe you're one who's been striving to follow Jesus, but you've stumbled. You've fallen down. And it hurts. And you need to get back up and keep going. Can we help you this morning? Can we pray for you? Can we encourage you? Can we help you to do what God wants you to do? If we can, why not come now as we stand and sing the song of invitation?